With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
I had this perfect dream. This dream was me and you, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller and Luke Moore's here.
All right.
Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Petey Donaldson's here as well.
Happy Monday.
All right, everyone. Good to have you back.
You've changed the order of how you introduce people.
What?
It's been noticed.
It's normally Jim, Luke, Pete.
I know, but I'm looking at the new setup, and I thought I've got to change with the times.
Because I saw a couple of tweets last week from people saying, "Oh, because you did Luke first, I thought Jim wasn't going to be on the show, and then he was, and I was really happy."
Yeah, I've started doing you first, Luke.
Good to hear. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there we are. We've cleared it up, ladies and gentlemen.
It's like a Steve McQueen, Paul Newman. I've now insisted on top billing.
Yes. Well, who's going to get top billing in the Football Ramble today? It's only bloody Rochdale, isn't it?
Dale.
Hey, damn right.
I love Hotsdale. Keith Hill.
Yeah. Oh, Keith Hill.
Oh, yeah. God.
There's a touch of the David Bellamy's about him.
I think he looks like Davos Seaworth from Game of Thrones.
I think
he looks a bit like my dad.
No, I think he looks like every dad.
Yeah. Yeah. Every day. He's got a bit. He's not as hefty as our dads, is he?
No,
He looks a bit like our dads.
But I think whatever your dad is like, even if you're like not even a human, there's a little bit of of him of your dad in him. He's just the most dad man I've ever seen.
He's very daddy.
He's also dad hard.
Yeah, yeah, completely.
Yeah, I wouldn't
and
fancy.
And dad's sexy.
He's 48 years old, and I think...
Jesus, really? Really?
How old do you think he was?
I would have... 55, I'd
think. Okay.
Yeah, he was born at the bottom of a hill.
He was quarried.
Yeah.
I like to think that Keith Hill's beard is the absolute... If you're explaining different aspects of planet Earth to an alien civilization...
Which we are.
Yeah, you would use Keith Hill as the dictionary definition of the late 40s, early 50s man beard.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
That beard is flecked with grey, salt and pepper. It's so full.
Yeah.
It's full. It's the most full beard I think I've ever, ever seen.
But it's not full in a sort of...
It's tidy.
Oh, I'm having a big beard in lieu of a personality sort of way.
No.
That's just how he likes it, so that's how he does it.
He trims it. He keeps it well looked after.
He was born with that beard, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He had that beard when he was 7.
He's the sort of man you can never imagine being young.
Yeah.
You could almost imagine that he possibly grew out of the beard. That was maybe there first.
No, the beard was there and then he kind of like folded himself out of it like a popple.
Yeah, okay.
Remember popples?
Yeah, that's what you mean, yeah.
I don't, but I sort of get what you're saying.
They were the toys. They were like cuddly toys that would had their own pouch, so to speak.
Oh, yeah, I do remember.
Out,
yeah.
And they go...
Yeah, Keith Hill, everybody.
Mm. Look at him as a player and he looks a bit like a... sort of provincial Jason Statham.
Mm. He does, yes.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
He was a breath of fresh air, Keith Hill. He's not a sort of manager because he manages Rochdale, with all due respect to them. You don't see him very much on TV.
Mm.
You know, obviously, because Rochdale are in the same division as the team I support.
They're bottom of it.
But they've got a lot of games in hand because of their pitch situation.
Right.
But yeah, they're not very good generally. Yeah. But so I'm aware of them as a concept, and I know who Keith Hill is, but you don't see him on TV that often. And he's actually been a breath of fresh air, in my opinion. Mm.
I like to hear the word Spotland.
Yes,
a lot.
True. Although, annoyingly, for sponsorship reasons, it's changed, doesn't it?
Is it? Right.
Yeah, but let's call it Spotland.
Spotland.
Spotless.
Spotland men.
Yeah, I said last week, it was last week, that there's no such thing in magic. I've been proved wrong by the FA Cup again, because it's sprinkled with magic.
Well, it looked like it wasn't going to happen this weekend. It looked like it was nothing there, really.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And especially after they reseeded or put a new pitch down, I thought... They should have waited until after this match.
I think they were pandering to the Premier
League.
So.
That was silly. They spent all the money they made by getting into this round resurfacing their bloody pitch.
Maybe they used clippings from Keith Hill's beard and just watered and dyed them. So strong.
Was it not the BBC who intimated that Spurs might have been involved in helping to pay for that?
Oh, did they?
Really?
They intimated that. I'm surprised. That's true or not. But
Poch saw like a really grainy picture of it. He saw one picture and said, that's not good enough. And then that... kicked everything off, I think.
But Rochdale,
and then he stamped on the pitch Rochdale, and it was full of potch holes.
It wasn't worth it.
Come on.
No, it was. Rochdale are an all right footballing side based on that evidence. And so you can understand why they want to actually give a decent account of themselves and show themselves in the best possible light on TV in front of the world's TV cameras. I mean, it's not great for you. Fair enough, you might squeeze a draw out of it, but they were able to do that anyway. You might squeeze a draw out of it, but it's not great to show that your club in that sort of light.
I want to see Sissoko hurt himself because of the things he did.
Pete's broken with tradition.
I want to see him with a face full of sand going, ah, it's in my eyes!
Marcus, there's like an unwritten rule, isn't there, that meant like football media, where like you never want to see a player hurt.
No. That's right.
Pete's broken that rule.
Yeah. It's a bit like if England
Pete's given
high.
An example as why that rule should not be unwritten. It should in fact be written in large letters.
It should be enforced by Her Majesty's government.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit like when a player, you know, during a tournament, when England used to play up against bigger sides because they used to get to more worthy rounds, and you'd hear that, you know, Klinsmann was going to be out or something like that. And of course, look, the football purist in you is that's a bit of a shame, but the England fans are going,
absolutely.
But I'd going back to Keith Hill just briefly, what I loved about it is when you get a manager, a lower league manager, play against a big side and he's beckoned into the BBC studio and all that kind of stuff, and he's let in behind the velvet rope, but yet he just plays it with a straight bat and he says,
all we wanted to do was match Juventus.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And we've done that.
That kind of thing. And he actually said, yeah, well, it was a difficult fixture, you know. That is top draw.
Such an understatement.
Yeah, exactly. But a goal in injury time for Rochdale, as you say, Pete, you know, they were 1-0 up at half time, probably deservedly. They gave a very good account of themselves in the first half.
Yeah.
Specifically in the first half. And you thought to yourself, oh, hang on a minute here. Now then, Spurs made a couple of substitutions. They got the equaliser, lovely goal from Moura.
and then got the penalty and 2-1.
You thought that would be that, really?
You thought that would be that. But you thought to yourself, you know what, but they had them going. They had Spurs going for a bit. And that's often all you can ask for.
Yeah.
And then scoring that goal right at the end, you just think, that is wonderful for the club. I know it sounds a bit patronising, but it's true. Financially, going to Wembley for a fixture like that is
it's a lovely,
utterly
marvellous. Lovely touch and finish.
But I thought he put it wide, actually.
Off the post, great finish.
Yeah, yeah.
And the reason it makes it so good is, I know he came off the bench and everything, but it's the 92nd minute.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And you know, to have that presence of mind, and I think Davis has played. Did he play in the Premier League for Blackpool? I think he's played in the Premier League.
I can't remember, to be honest.
I think he might have played in the Premier League, so he's got a bit of experience, obviously. And look, this is from one to another, so don't take this the wrong way if you're listening. He's also a bit of a fat lad, which I like.
We all love that.
Yeah, I saw like a roll of flab kind of going over the top of a shirt, and I was like, oh yeah, oh, you don't see that often, even in League Two,
and then League One,
soon
to be League Two.
Let's face it.
Yeah, but you are right in your point. Yeah.
No. You don't see it very often, no. And that's for a reason. It was the mascot. I was like, oh no! Okay. I also announced on air that Lloris could have saved the first goal, and then the WhatsApp group of the Football Ramble reminded me that Lloris was not in nets. So
in theory,
we'll yeah, Lloris should have saved that. He should have been in goal. Exactly. That's the point. Yeah, yeah. Pochettino should have put Lloris in goal, he would have saved it. So.
Rochdale's official mascot is actually quite upsetting. It's it's Desmond the Dragon, as far as I understand it.
Yeah.
And it's called Desmond, but he's got like really, really long eyelashes, and the design of the mascot, I think, is clearly made to look at female, but they've called it Desmond. I don't know what they're doing.
Well, giraffes have really long, beautiful eyelashes. They do. Maybe dragons have the same.
Yeah.
Mystical creatures off. Can do whatever
exactly.
they want. Yeah.
They'd be true. Singed off, mate.
No, I think that's right.
Straight off.
With regards to Keith... With regards to Keith Hill, giving those kind of sort of stock answers, saying, oh, it's a difficult fixture. Pochettino is affected by this as well, because apparently he said after the match, the good news is he's still alive.
Well, it is.
Mm. Yeah. Well,
based on that first half.
I'm sorry, but if he walked in at the end of the game thinking that's the last thing we need is a ruddy another game and a replay and so on, walking into the dressing room, well, the good news is we're still alive.
I've heard that mentioned, and I knew you were going to say that about the replay. I wonder, with the greatest respect, I differ from you on that. I think, look at the changes they made, Spurs. They made 11, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Did they make 11? It's either 10 or 11. They made a lot of changes.
A
lot of those players look rusty.
So you're saying a game like this is perfect to give them a bit of match time?
Because,
well, okay.
Because you've got Winks, Wanyama. This is off the top of my head.
Well, Lucas Moura.
No, but and he's not played a lot as well, so that's another good one.
Yeah.
But I was just thinking, if the players who come back in who looked a bit rusty, Alderweireld, Rose, Winks, Wanyama, okay, they've got a fully fit squad, really, apart from that, and they've got the Champions League games and the Premier League games, of course, they can afford to make the changes. So what better way to give these guys a chance to play their way back into form with a home game at Wembley against Rochdale? It's fantastic.
Okay, well, that's a fair point. Although they did have to bring on Dele Alli and Harry Kane to sort them out, though.
True, yeah, they did.
The good news is we're still alive. And also, I saw Dele Alli and Nutmega Man in the 18-yard box. So
that was a great nutmeg as well. And the great thing about that was, and no word of a lie, I was able to say to my wife, he's a nutmeg in here.
Yeah.
And it was that telegraph, and he still did it.
And fair play to Keith Hill, actually, because when he was asked about Dele Alli winning the penalty, he said, yeah, he was looking for it, but he said that's what he should be doing, and if he does that for England at the World Cup, then I'm all for it.
Yeah.
I mean, he can say that.
Because he's just endorsing diving there, isn't he? Why is this fine over the last couple of weeks? People are okay with diving.
Well, did he dive? Or
did he dive?
Okay.
Of course he did.
All right, I'm not for it then.
But that's fine. We can talk about this sort of black and white terms all we want. I think there's an element of truth in both of what you're saying, in what you're both saying there. We have to distinguish between this looking for contact thing, which ultimately, whether anyone likes it or not, in 2018 is part of the game. And Pete regularly says, well, if you don't exaggerate the contact, you don't get a decision. So you're hamstringing yourself. Basically, how the referees in this country, and actually overseas as well, interpret the laws mean that if you don't exaggerate the contact, you're not going to get a decision. There's a difference between that and blatantly diving with no contact, a la, for example, and there are other examples, but this is the first one that springs to mind, a la Chris Smalling against Newcastle, where there was no contact at all.
Yeah.
That, to me, is the modern interpretation of what a dive is.
But I think in this instance, Ali's sort of, there's the barest bit of contact. He's going, all right, that'll do, that's my pass.
But it's a foul, it's a foul.
I don't, that's not a foul, it's a tiny bit of contact.
Dele Alli moves the ball past him, and he exaggerates the contact, but at the same time, if he doesn't exaggerate the contact, he's just going to run into him. And it's still an obstruction, but the referee won't give it because the referees don't interpret it that way.
I don't think that's a foul at all.
What do you think, Marcus?
It's a tricky one.
why is it beneficial being the host? You haven't actually got to give an opinion.
I'm going to pass this on to Peter.
And I'm going to sideways pass it back to Luke.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think what you said actually is both have a point. You know, do you kind of stand there and take a more kind of pious view about it and then get left behind? Or do you do this kind of dishonourable thing and start to kind of bend the rules and so on and so forth?
We're probably going to come onto this in a slightly different context in a minute.
Yeah.
But this is the point. Jim and I's viewpoints on this are different. But a lot of laws in the game of football are based on a referee's interpretation. Mm. They're open to interpretation. Now, if you think that's an infringement, I guess that's fine. And the referee's interpreted it that way. If you don't, that's also fine. You're allowed to disagree with the referee's decision. But the laws are the laws for a reason. And they've been drawn up in that way. Now, when we bring VAR in and we talk about, we'll probably talk about it, I'm sure, in the Huddersfield game shortly, that's when the laws are looking like they might need to be changed, because it's very difficult to know what a referee's thinking and why he gave what he gave.
Mm. Yeah.
I enjoyed your concatenation of the word Jim and I to Gemini.
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 I'm a typical Gemini.
Yeah, that's right.
Gemini.
Indeed, yeah. So there we are, gentlemen. Danny Rose shouting Ryan Mason and kissing the camera.
Oh,
yeah,
nice touch.
It was nice.
Nice touch.
He's a lovely lad. I was fortunate enough to interview him on the radio about
Ryan Mason.
About three or four months ago. Such a lovely fella.
I've heard that.
And he was on the BBC as well, I think, just before the Spurs game at the weekend, and he came across very, very well.
Yeah. Speaking of lovely fellas, let's talk about Bards.
Oh, the Pardonator.
Back in the headlines.
Barcelona!
No fault of his own.
They've been dubbed the Cab Four.
I love that.
I like that.
Nice. Great. Good, Didn't two of them play at the weekend as well?
Yeah.
Put them in. One was stripped to the captaincy.
The thin squad.
Yeah. One was stripped of his driving licence.
Oh, dear. Went away for a little training in Spain last week.
Yeah. Mm.
What I love about this is everything Pardew said about it, I know you've put in the running order, Marcus, a lot of it is about, you know, like him saying, like, oh, obviously we're disappointed in that. And it's a lot of it's platitudes. You get the impression that Pardew's thinking, I know I have to condemn these guys, but I don't really know why.
curfew.
Nothing I haven't done.
It is Megabands.
Yeah.
he said, I'm annoyed that they've broken the curfew. He didn't, as far as I could see in the quotes, I'm sure he did somewhere, but his main annoyance seemed to be about the curfew rather than stealing the taxi.
But they went out. Like, are you not allowed back out? As long as you're back before a certain time. You can go out for McDonald's, that's fine, isn't it?
Yeah, but it was at 5:30 in the morning.
Marcus and Jim, have you guys ever encountered a human being less open to the idea of a curfew than Pete Donaldson? Don't even bother trying to interpret it, Pete.
What's a curfew?
He's just said, if you come back in for the curfew and you go back out from McDonald's, that's all right. And no, that's not what a curfew is.
When does the next day start? That's all I'm asking. That could be breakfast.
Imagine you just staying up past midnight arguing with the calendar that the day
yeah. It's not like, you know, you're working in the factory in the old days and you clock in and go, right, I'm off, lads.
Where does breakfast taxi stealing start? And where does nighttime taxi stealing start?
Are they different? Should you treat them differently?
Was that McDonald's serving breakfast or not?
That's a good cut-off. Yeah.
So,
could
I get a flat sausage with some syrup or not?
They're essentially a professional athlete, though, aren't they?
Well,
the funniest tweet I saw...
36-year-olds.
The funniest tweet I saw about it is that someone said, Alan Pardew has said that the four players who stole the taxi will never play for West Brom again. So another 8 players have come forward saying they're in the back.
Yeah, well, a statement for the four of them said, we felt it important we identify ourselves out of respect for teammates who otherwise could be implicated by association. And I thought, are you trying to claim a bit of moral high ground there? No, we're all good, lads. We admit what we've done wrong. Yeah.
I would have preferred to have heard a statement from around the time that they were doing it.
Yeah,
I would as well.
That'd have been good. But they stole the taxi at 5:30. The taxi driver only got his car back at 8 in the morning. So, you know, a few hours later.
The beautiful part of this for me, just from a Football Ramble point of view, is they admitted it before we recorded, so we can definitely talk about it.
Damn right. Yeah.
Good for you.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why that statement is very, very important.
Yeah.
Speaking of managers coming out with really classic English managery type statements, Pards came out with an absolute classic saying with regards to it. He just went, well, it wasn't what we wanted.
I do wonder, remember when Rob Lee and Warren Barton stole a limousine?
Yeah,
I can't remember Keegan saying anything about it.
Yeah, because he was wanting to go somewhere. It was his limousine and they stole it and he happened to be in the back.
He had a second job to try and pay the bill.
I've never ridden in a limo before.
I can't fit this limo in a lay-by.
West Brom are rock bottom of the Premier League. That's what you get as well. And also, chaps, I know we normally have a time and an allotted time to mention this, but in the context of that we're actually talking about them as a team at the moment, Richard Simmons.
Richard Simmons.
Not that one.
Simo.
He fell at the final hurdle.
It was a great shame.
So long, our sweet prince. We hardly knew ye.
I know. He got the right result, but the bit before.
Well, he shot for the moon, and I respect that.
I respect that an awful lot.
So we need
a new
one for next Thursday for the best bet of Bet365.
Yeah, we certainly
unlucky,
do.
Unlucky, mate. Unlucky.
But yeah, West Brom, they are out the cup. And, I mean, the preparation wasn't ideal. Again, Pard said about going to Spain. We've gone there to try and get ourselves ready and up for the running, and this is obviously not ideal.
When I saw this story, I thought, oh, they've done a new cast. They're already out of the cup. And I forgot, no, they're not. They're still in the cup.
Yeah.
So
that happened on the Thursday. No. They played on the Saturday.
It's so silly.
It's absolutely fantastic.
West Brom fans would be annoyed, though, because they had a plum draw in the third round. I think they beat Exeter quite easily. And they beat Liverpool.
Away from home.
And they're rock bottom, like I say, of the league. Mm. This is a real nice sort of holiday for them, the fans, not the players.
Well, they had a nice holiday in Spain.
they've been beaten. The latest report I read this morning is that Pardew's got a couple of games to save his job.
You can't imagine he'd be.
They're at home to Huddersfield next, and then after that they go to Watford, and then after that they've got Leicester, then Bournemouth. I mean, they need to start moving now.
They were unlucky not to get an equaliser to give them an ounce of credit. I mean, Rondon scored an absolute beauty.
He really did, didn't he? I love that. There was nowhere that was going other than the goal. He forced that in.
Yeah, right.
It was brilliant. I was going to say, like, Matthew Upson and Leon Osman on Match of the Day 2 were actually talking about the virtues of these trips and how, when the dust has all settled on this, it might look a bit mad, but apparently it is very important for team bonding.
Oh, I'm sure,
Look at the profile. The difference of the profile between two clubs in this example. So we were talking last week about Pep Guardiola saying to Man City players, you can have 3 or 4 days off now and literally you can do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. But they believe in the project and respect the process and respect the manager so much that clearly that's not gone awry as far as I know. When you've got a manager like Alan Pardew, it's obviously slightly different.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he may foster a particular type of team spirit which maybe lends itself to this sort of thing.
Can I have a weekend away myself?
Accidents do happen. Aguero was in a car accident, wasn't he? Now, I have no idea. I can't remember.
It was a very different scenario.
So things can happen,
is what you're
saying. But imagine Pep Guardiola, the only thing he says is, Kevin, just put some sunscreen on. That's all I ask, right? You're very fair.
Indeed.
Yeah. Get it on.
But what I was going to say was, I think, obviously West Brom probably have a little bit more steam to let off than Man City do, given how everything's going. And actually, could this be a catalyst for them to actually pull together and start behaving a bit? Because if the squad's in that sort
of ridiculous... A catalytic converter, for example.
Well, yeah, quite. Because, things can't get more embarrassing than this. Things can't really get worse than that. So they absolutely have to pull their socks up now. If they're not going to do it now, they're never going to do it, are they?
Yeah, that's very true, Jim.
I'm really trying to help Pards out.
You are. You really are. And it's refreshing to see. But yeah, Southampton, they'll be away to Wigan or Manchester City in the next round, of course. We don't know that result at the time of recording. Just quickly before we go to a break, VAR was in the spotlight again at Huddersfield, where Manchester United ran out 2-0 winners. Before we talk about that, Romelu Lukaku looking his whole self. Now, when given time and space, he can do that to defenders using strength and pace and obviously his class. We just want to see him do that against the bigger sides. I know it's a cliched thing and so on, but when you see him like that, you think, there he is. That's the man that they signed. And obviously at the start of the season, he was scoring a lot of goals. Just to be able to do that to better defenders.
Absolutely.
And so
I mean, that's what he's been signed to do, isn't it? To just do these really, really powerful goals. Uh-huh. And it's interesting that Man United set up on the counter. Really showed a lot of respect to Huddersfield. And I think that's interesting about Mourinho. We criticise him a lot for sort of, quite negative tactics and pragmatic tactics sometimes, but he gets it right often in ways you wouldn't expect it to and hit him to, and that's a great example of that. But the ball from Sanchez for the second goal put it absolutely into his path. That helps a striker so much. It buys you a couple of touches almost. I think Sanchez is, that's a hell of a player to have around Lukaku. He might bring more out of him.
Yeah, you're right to say about Mourinho's tactics, because we said that Huddersfield will be full of confidence after their 4-1 win against Bournemouth and will want to go at Manchester United. And With Mourinho playing, Michael Carrick in the midfield, not having Pogba, much has been said about that. Obviously, they've still got a fantastic lineup to play on the break and just think we'll be fine here. It was evidently a good idea.
And they also played a 4-3-3, which is what we've been talking about, and they look much better for doing it.
Yeah. without Pogba as well. If he can come back into that system, then you would think that he would do very well. Juan Mata's goal was disallowed. Mourinho said after the match, if the decision goes against his team but is the right decision, then he's super happy because he wants the truth. David Wagner said VAR killed the emotion. Juan Mata said he likes VAR.
Well, most players do like it. Yeah. I think we talked about this before. Most players do like it. It's more the sort of commentary out or the exploit pros or whatever that
because it gives the media a headache, doesn't it?
I think it's also because we thrive on the narrative and the drama and everything around it. I mean, if everything is dictionary definition perfect every single time, it's much more difficult for us to do our job. But there's lots of other reasons. But
I'd like to hear from players who've had their goals chalked off. Well, and it's taken a long time. You know, it's sort of like, exactly.
But at the risk of sort of banging the same drum over and over again. I mean, how fractional was that decision? It was so fractional.
Well, this is one of those things, isn't it? As you said earlier, it's down to the interpretation of an official sometimes. It's almost like with an offside in particular, you wonder if the law will actually need a little bit of amendment because it's so tight. I mean, Mata was leaning offside. Does he gain an advantage there? He doesn't that's what the law's there for.
I've said it since this, the whole thing came in. I've said on the offside law, if you're going to do it and you're going to incorporate VAR into the offside law as it currently stands, the offside law needs to change. Mm. Otherwise, the way they're interpreting it makes it not even necessary to have assistant linesmen.
Yeah.
Assistant referees, sorry. You don't need them.
Yeah.
So it has to change. We've done that 100 times, but anyway.
And when they sort of display why they've taken a particular decision, don't have the wonkiest line in the world. I mean, that's just madness.
That but the company have since confirmed that the officials were looking at the correct line. It was just the incorrect one supplied to the broadcaster. Which doesn't look great, obviously.
Why are you making incorrect ones? Why is that even in the system?
Yeah. Don't have an incorrect
one. We've got the incorrect one.
You know, John, you know that one that says do not use? I used that one, didn't I? Just delete it.
Yeah. Brighton will be playing Manchester United in the next round. Brighton themselves in the quarterfinals of the FA Cup for the first time since 1986.
Mm-hmm. Lovely stuff.
Glorious stuff. Right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk a tiny bit more FA Cup and then the Championship after this.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/ramble.
Donaldson, where's your trousers?
I can confirm he's got them on for now.
I've got some lovely trousers on.
Yeah, you have, actually.
Look, Moore, you look like you're going to say something.
Yeah, before we go to the correspondence with Pete, everyone's highlight of the show, I'm sure. A quick note for our Acast Plus listeners. Starting with this month, we are moving to a new format where instead of Ramble meets shows on a monthly basis as your extra show, you will now get a chance to choose the subject of the shows we make as Acast Plus monthly specials. This is exciting.
Oh, yeah.
So we're now giving you the chance as an Acast Plus listener to email into us on specials@thefootballramble.com. That's specials@thefootballramble.com with your ideas, and we'll make a monthly special curated by you and your ideas. So it can be anything you want, and we'll pick a few of our favourites to make a monthly special for you as an Acast Plus subscriber. As a further development, our Ramble Meet series, in which we spend time with the great and good of the football world, we've got some good ones lined up, will now be released generally and available to all, and we'll stick those out on the usual feed as and when they're ready. So, to summarise, Acast Plus subscribers, new type of show, you can get involved in it, specials@thefootballramble.com. Ramble Meet shows for everyone.
Oh yeah.
Back to you, Pete.
Lovely old job.
It's correspondence with Pete Donaldson. But I would say just before that, you say it's exciting that the listeners effectively now get to choose our Acast Plus specials. You could also say it's terrifying.
Yes, it is.
Based on Pete's Wikipedia page. It's utterly terrifying. Yeah.
And pretty much every email we've ever received.
Actually, before you start, unless you're going to include this, Oliver Memories Bailey did a poll about on Twitter which of...
The four
of us are most likely to steal a taxi.
Right.
Overwhelmingly.
Pete, you got 82%.
With a landslide of a landslide.
82%.
It will be a very short journey.
Yeah. You can't even drive.
I know.
Also, given that I can't drive.
No denial. That's my favourite thing.
Yeah, but Pete could... is arguably not even physically up to the job of stealing a taxi.
You can get someone else to do it. So
I've got some
help there
somewhere.
Have you?
Yeah.
So. To you.
Tootle around with those, pootle around with those.
There we are.
Hello to Charlie Watts. Not that one. Shalom Ramblers had a fantastic idea for the replacement of Extra Time or FA Cup replays. A giant game of Connect Four gets wheeled on, and each team picks a player to take part. I'll set the scene for you. FA Cup fourth round. Spurs have just played out a 1-1 draw with Man United. The Connect Four gets wheeled on, and Harry Kane, he does put a terrible word in the middle of that, Harry Kane and Alexis Sanchez step forward for their teams. Both players are probably about as intelligent as a toddler, so I feel a nation would find this battle highly entertaining.
Oh, I think it's a crap idea.
How's that made it in?
Yeah. What do you mean?
Well, just because he's called Charlie Watts and you get a chance to say not that one.
Is that the is that the first one in the
inbox?
That
was the first one, yeah.
That is the reason, isn't it?
I just saw Charlie Watts.
I prefer it when he punched
drummer.
Mick Jagger in the face.
Elliot Matthews from Australia. Hello, Elliot Matthews. I was listening to the pod Never Kiss a Man's Hat earlier this month, and you talked about the Premier League clubs potentially hiring acting coaches to teach players to dive better. And Pochettino also stated that football is about tricking your opponent again and again. This reminds me of a similar situation in Aussie rules football. In AFL, if you tackle someone above the head, you'll concede a free kick.
Above the head? You want to hit
them? It's weird, isn't it?
What?
Midway through the 2016 season, North Melbourne Football Club literally took time out of their training schedule and allocated it to teaching their players to raise their arms while being tackled, ensuring that the tackle rides up their shoulders and onto their head. I presume the original rule is above the neck, is the situation.
Basically, the coach coached them to sacrifice their own skull to get an advantage.
The coach said, if umpires keep award and the free kicks, we're going to keep coaching it.
Fascinating game.
Thank you for that.
Played on a cricket pitch that game, isn't it? I think it's something like, I think they have like 400 players a side or something.
Mad. Yeah. Absolutely mad. So if you want to get in touch with the show, it's showatthefootballramble.com. Yes!
Get
in there!
Marcus, I was saying this earlier when we were doing Luke and Pete show, right? For a man who loves technology so much, I am continually surprised at how much he struggles with email addresses. it's like he does it like a tombola in his head. He picks like a random email address out, and you might get it, you might not.
I'm on a lot of podcasts now, for sure.
Yeah, you are. You are.
And radio shows.
This is your favourite one, though, isn't it?
Up y'all.
And hallucinogenic drugs. Right. Let's go back quickly to the FA Cup. Sheffield Wednesday, they're still in the cup. In the cup. We should say that Cameron Dawson in goal for Wednesday, a great game, and made one of the saves of the season.
Yeah, giving us something to talk about from the game.
Yes.
Well, he had a great game considering the last time Swansea played in the FA Cup, they smashed 8 in.
Yeah. That would be terrifying for a keeper, you think. Yeah. Oh, blimey. But it's a clean sheet that he'll be very proud of. Carlos Carvajal, I think we're going for that one, said both managers should have been given the option of a penalty shootout rather than the compulsory replay that, of course, they now need to play. And he suggested in future that managers and referees should be able to agree after the full-time whistle that they can finish the game on the day.
I mean, that would be chaos.
Yeah. I love that he's sort of just brought this in now. So what I would have preferred would be to do this very exact thing that is not part of the game.
Yeah.
I just, Sorry, I've brought one of my own rules. Try this out.
Step away from saying it's my ball.
He's come from Japan.
He's a man coming from abroad. Carlos Kickerball Carvajal. Giving it a change in the very fabric of the game.
I mean, when he said like going to Hillsborough would be like going home, it's not your home and you don't make the rules, big boy.
So I should also say that I only watched highlights of this game because it was the early game on Saturday, wasn't it? And I went out and recorded it and thought, oh, I'll come back and I'll watch it. Saw the result.
Yeah.
I thought, you know what? I'm not fucking
delete.
Doing it.
Yeah. Delete.
I'm not doing it.
That saved me a bit.
And if the listeners don't like it, they can stick it.
Yeah. Well, old Carlos used a confusing analogy to describe the whole situation.
He does this a lot.
With regards to replays, saying, it looks like that movie Police Academy. Police Academy 1, Police Academy 2. And we think we're going to Police Academy 3 in this moment because it's the third time.
I quite enjoy
Police Academy 3.
Yeah, I mean, there's more than 3.
8 was the one where I think Mission to Moscow has something to do with some diamonds hitting in a video camera.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
I think all the ones that include Mahoney, which I think is up to and including 4.
Mahoney, on patrol. Steve Guttenberg.
Yeah, is Steve Guttenberg in the sign at Miami Beach? I think he might have gone by then. That's 5.
Michael Winslow, was he in all of them? He was the one that made the noises.
Yeah, Hightower was in all of them. The little woman when she gets angry, she shouts.
Yeah.
Zed is the noises one.
Yeah, what's it? What's his name?
Wild Bob Thorkwit.
Isn't it Bobcat Goldthwait?
Bobcat Goldthwait. Like
Is Guttenberg...
He sort of talks like that.
No, noises is Jones.
Yeah.
And Zed is the guy with the funny voice. And Kim Cattrall's in the first one, isn't she?
Yes, she is.
Okay. Yeah.
Is Steve Guttenberg in FA Cup replay Liberty Stadium?
No. He's not in that one. Police Academy 10. Assignment Liberty Stadium.
There was a kid's cartoon of Police Academy.
There was, there was.
Weird. And Robocop. Very strange. Very adult film.
Of Robocop.
Yeah, very adult.
Robocop is decidedly more adult than Police Academy.
And
no, this is the debate that me and my dad used to have. He would rather me watch Robocop than Police Academy because Police Academy has sex in it, but Robocop... Doesn't he have a... Doesn't he shoot a man's balls off at one point?
Possibly. This explains so much about you.
Yeah.
So much.
The
fetishization of tech, just all of it.
We'll go to the championship very quickly, ladies and gentlemen.
Ed 209 of these...
He showed you Robocop rather than Police Academy because it's real life, mate. Yeah. That's what happens. That is what happens. On the streets, people become robots.
He didn't want you to think police officers are as hapless as that and you can get away with crime. So he showed you Robocop.
Yeah, couldn't he fly in 3?
Oh, shut up, Pete. Marcus, come on.
Fly.
Let's go to the championship. The Old Farm derby happened. 2 very late goals. Norwich 1, Ipswich 1, of course, was the result. Tim Closer missed a good chance earlier in the game. Made amends, though.
Didn't he?
With that injury time winner.
Mick McCarthy. This is so good.
A man who does not obey the public trust.
Marcus, tell them.
Or protect the innocent.
Tell people listening who may not have seen this, what Mick McCarthy, and you say he was accused of doing it. He did it.
Accused of doing it.
What did he do?
He told his own fans to fuck off.
He celebrated a
allegedly,
goal.
Allegedly. No,
he celebrated a goal in their biggest game of their season by screaming, fuck off, to his own fans.
No, even better than that, it was the fist going right
fist
in there.
As well.
Going No, I would not say that's a fist pump. That was
an uppercut.
That's going in there. Right up the arse. Fuck you. Up the arse.
Explain that to
people who pay my wages up to the rest.
Pete, imagine you explain that to the director. I know what you're saying, Mick, but... The fans are quite important.
Calm down, Mick. They can't hear you now. Stop saying it.
What I were doing was I were pretending I was fishing out some grass from a tractor, and it was a tribute to the match.
Yeah. Pete, you can imagine the director saying that, and Mick McCarthy goes, "No, I don't know what you're saying, but it's me against them. Fuck them
and you." Yeah. It was a shame for Big Mick because of course Ipswich scored on the 89th minute.
Our Myman delivering a calf.
Like what a farmer would do, yeah?
It would have been their first derby win since 2009. I mean, they are suffering, aren't they, Ipswich, in the East Anglia derby. And then, of course, Closer scored late on. But yeah, but Mick McCarthy also said, he made some comment about Norwich having spent $300 million in the last few years and still languishing
no,
mid-table.
What he said is, I reckon I could get Norwich to mid-table if I'd spent $300 million quid.
Love it.
Love it. It's an underrated derby, that. Not on this show. I like it. It was a great game again.
But yeah. I like it that Mick is saying, effectively, just because I tell my own fans to fuck off, doesn't mean I like you, Norwich. You're in the firing line as well.
Yeah, exactly. Who's he mates with? Do you know what I mean? Who's he on good terms with, Mick McCarthy? I don't know.
I don't bloody know.
He's a friend of this show.
He is. He's a friend of ours. He's very welcome round here, certainly. Cardiff moved back into second place with a 1-0 win over Pulis's Middlesbrough. They've registered 14 clean sheets in 32 league games this season, old Cardiff. And that's significant, not only because, clean sheets mean prizes, but Warnock set his team a target of 16 clean sheets at the start of the season, believing that would be enough to ensure a playoff position. Well, the way they're going, I mean, they automatically go up rather than the playoff position.
And 2 points on this. One is, if they do indeed get promoted, you wonder what Neil Warnock will do, because he's traditionally liked to ply his trade in that division.
Yes.
And secondly, another observation on the Middlesbrough side of things, I wouldn't claim to be an expert on them at all, but one of the things you would hope to receive when you hire Tony Pulis as a manager is like a model of consistency.
Yeah.
They've been so inconsistent.
They have. I mean, they're 5 points
off. The
opposite
to what you'd expect.
Yeah, they're 5 points off the playoffs. But now is the time, really, to kind of start your charge, you know. But it would be nice to see old Warnock back in the Premier League, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be. But I don't think he would stay. I don't think he would take. I don't think he would bother. I think he would maybe leave.
Yeah. Well, when he was asked if he was going to reward the players if they get to that target of 16 clean sheets and what they've done, he said, "I might have a glass of bubbly when I get home, but nothing to do with the players."
All right.
Surely Warnock would want to stay if they got promoted, have another crack at it.
Yeah, so I suppose it depends on the budget available and all that kind of stuff, because if you're going to go into the Premier League and he thinks that he won't have full reign, you know, I'd imagine he likes to have a lot of say in what goes on. And at Cardiff, we know with the owners, I don't know what the situation is like now, but there has been a little bit of funny business behind the scenes and so on and so forth. It would be very interesting. So, you know, there's so many moving parts with these kind of situations.
I just don't think Neil Warnock thinks he's... To be perfectly frank, and I respect what he's achieved in the game, I do quite like Neil Warnock. I just don't think he thinks he's up to it in the Premier League. Mm. I think, I mean, because even...
Well, wasn't this his last job, he said, with Cardiff?
Yeah.
And
even if they were to get a huge windfall from going into the Premier League, which you'd imagine they would, and then the owner said, well, we're going to spend all that money, Warnock can't spend that money. Who's he going to spend it on?
Yeah. That's all well and good, though, isn't it? But give it, you know... If it actually comes to a situation where they do get promoted and he's faced with that decision, it'd be a difficult thing to walk away from, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean,
I feel like he might have done it before, though. I feel like he has done it before.
I mean, he's 69, Neil Warnock. Yeah. I know what you mean. I mean, there are one or two managers of a similar age in the Premier League. But then for him, he might well think, you know what, I've got... If indeed he does get Cardiff back in the Premier League, and for the purposes of this conversation, we're saying that, you know, if he does, then... You know, it's not a bad way to get Cardiff back into the Premier League and go, you know what, there we are. That'll do me. But we shall certainly see. But one team that are on the march is Fulham. They beat Aston Villa, who have been going very well, of course. Fulham, they are finding form at the right time here. Now, Fulham, I mean, they're a wonderful side to watch if you like possession football. They keep the ball for fun. They really, really do. But earlier on in the season, Fulham had so much possession. I mean, they will always get about at least 60% possession in games, you know. But they didn't have much penetration going forward, which was the frustrating thing. But now they're managing to turn that into goals.
They've had the most possession on average in the Championship all season, I think.
Oh, easily. I mean, apart from the obvious sides in the Premier League, you know, Man City's and Arsenal's and so on, they are one of the most possession-heavy sides in the whole country. Mm. I mean, they really are. But they, as I say, they're
that
now
that guy scored a tap-in, didn't he, against Villa?
Floyd Aite, 50-yarder. He was gifted it.
A little bit of help.
Can you be gifted a 50-yarder?
No, you still got to do it.
I don't know. You can be given a voucher.
Yeah. Yeah.
You still got to claim it, though.
Yeah. That's true. If you hit it from 50 yards, it's worth more than if you just... No, it's not, because they all count the same in football. Exactly. You know? So they're
a good win for them. They seem to be timing their run quite well.
Absolutely. But since that loss away to Sunderland on the 16th of December, which was very strange, they haven't lost at all. They're fifth, 6 points behind Cardiff in second. Watch out for old Fulham. They are on the march, as I say. Now then, let's go to League One. I mean, if you can call it League One, this is more about that story about that Portsmouth man spending his wife's money, Luke.
Yeah, I thought it was much sneaking. I thought I got away with that. It broke sort of last week. I thought we got away with it.
I thought I'll save that one.
What's amazing to me about this, and you get this with Newcastle as well, is that not only are embarrassing things happening to Portsmouth, they're from the same era. Yeah. Like they're gems that we just didn't know about at the time.
Yeah, well, this was Suleiman Al-Fahim, Pompey's owner for about 6 weeks in 2009.
Yeah, he stole $5 million. That lasted 6 weeks.
Yeah, $5 million of his wife's money. He's been jailed in the UAE. It's an incredible story. He stole $5 million from his wife and put it into Portsmouth, so he was their owner for about 6 weeks. And $5 million lasted 6 weeks.
Yeah, that's the takeaway.
Showed you how they were pissing money away.
That's two. So if I was the wife, I'd first of all be annoyed that he stole $5 million from me.
Yeah.
I'd then be doubly annoyed that he put it into Portsmouth in that era.
You've stolen $5 million. Okay, where have you put it? Where have you invested it?
Yeah.
Because if this is good, you could.
Yeah.
Portsmouth Football Club.
Yeah.
You might as well have just chucked it out the window.
That's the worst football club ever. At that time, that is the worst place possibly in world football you could put it.
Yeah, I mean,
and the thing about it, Marcus, is that Portsmouth are embarrassing themselves now on the pitch anyway, so I don't know why we have to talk about this.
Yeah.
They've had four, I think, three sendings off in their last five games.
Mm-hmm.
They're in all sorts
is
of problems.
Is your current owner making a film, though?
Yeah, because Al Fahim was wanting to make one. James Montague, of course, we interviewed him for a Ramble special. The Indiana Jones of football media, as he was once described. He interviewed this man in 2010 and asked him, has the experience put you off being involved in football? And Al Fahim said, no, I get calls from the US, from Asia, saying, Mr. Suleiman, help us to buy a club. Mm. You don't, do you?
Not anymore, because you're in jail.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, but he wanted to retire at the age of 35, this fella.
Do you not remember him? I remember.
I do, yeah.
I remember him quite well.
He's very much a bit part character. Yeah.
He did a film called The Road to Doffa, and I've been reading up about this, and there's an interview with the director. We would use the highest technology in the film industry, and we will make two copies of the film, one in Arabic and one in English. What technology?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Some dubbing, bit of subtitling. Yeah. Such technology.
Such high technology.
Well, Suleiman, he was going to play himself a philanthropist in the film.
His biggest claim to fame, Al Fahim, is, I think, is genuinely that he was in the same room when the deal was done for Man City to be taken over by the in 2008, I think it was.
Was it like in a public cafe in the UAE or something? Yeah, I was there!
No, no.
To be fair, some of the other movies of the director, Saeed Hamid, is Tabak Al-Rays, The President's Chef.
No!
Is it The President's Chef? No, the President is the Chef.
That genuinely sounds like a Netflix original.
Yeah.
It does.
Alagan Yester, Stop Driver, Let Me Get Down.
That sounds like a Steve Guttenberg original.
Yeah. Stop or my mum will shoot.
Yeah. Yeah.
The old adage about 80s Hollywood that was apparently, if you can't afford Ted Danson, get Steve Guttenberg.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm happy with it.
It's a good rule for life.
And he's fine.
They clearly have some money left over for Three Men and a Little Lady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get them both.
Baby.
Exactly. Right then, time for a break, after which, going for Glow and All, we're going to talk about Big Ek as well.
Muy rapido, muy, muy, like a Ferrari.
It was his birthday this week, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Bobby Robson.
He would have been 85, I think, yeah.
Sir Bob. The preview show sponsored by Bet365 is out on Thursday afternoon. We require a new better to
we
come
do.
Forward.
So show at thefootballramble.com.
Great shame.
Let's be respectful to Richard Simmons, not that one's memory, and move on. But yeah, we need a new one for Thursday.
Yeah, we certainly do. Chaps, did you hear that a Welsh match was stopped by an earthquake on the weekend?
I heard about the earthquake. Mm. It was felt quite badly in Bristol.
Yes.
So a few of my friends got in touch to say, but I didn't know it stopped a game. How did it stop a game?
Well, the epicentre was 12 miles north of Swansea, I think. It was the biggest earthquake in the UK for a decade, 4.4 on the Richter scale, which will be small fry, perhaps, for some people listening far and wide. But for Britain, it's very big.
Did it just delay a game? It didn't stop it?
It delayed a game, it temporarily stopped the game after the tremor felt just after 2:30. Imagine that.
Incredible.
Stopping a game for an earthquake.
The ball sort of wobbling around like a wiggly giggly.
In the middle of a football pitch, it's quite a safe place to be in an earthquake, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, not unless a fissure opens.
No, a fissure, yeah, true, yeah.
If you've got a roof stadium.
Big trouble.
Apparently, if you are in a house, you're supposed to stand in the threshold of a doorway.
Yeah. Right.
I learned that from reading Slash's autobiography.
Is that right?
Have a supporting wall? That'd be a load-bearing wall, surely.
Yeah.
A brick wall.
I think so.
I think don't stick about a plaster wall, mate.
No, but I think it just means that you're less likely to be hit by falling stuff.
Yeah.
Did you ever stand in your doorway and push your arms against the doorway and then come out the doorway and your arms would automatically... go up.
Everyone did that, didn't they?
I thought you were going to say, did you ever stand in your door and do a Samson and knock the whole place down? Accidentally.
Hold it up like a pillar.
Yeah, exactly. That's when you had longer hair, of course.
Speaking of pillars of football.
Alex McLeish. Oh, you see that? You
the
see that?
It's telepathy. Is over. Yeah.
Seamless.
Back in charge of the big boys, a.k.a. the Scotland national team. Big Ek was at the helm for 9 months, but left in 2007 after narrowly failing to qualify for Euro 2008. And it was a very gallant effort. If you remember, they were in a group with France and Italy, I believe, if my memory serves me well.
Was that when James McFadden scored a great goal in France?
Yeah, I think that was that. I'm pretty sure it was that time.
Didn't McLeish leave to get because he got offered the Birmingham job?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
But I think they'd failed to qualify and he felt that he'd done all he can, although for the time being,
he won the League Cup with Birmingham. The man's got a track record to dream about.
There you go, you see.
If you're a Scottish fan listening to this and you're annoyed, here's how I can make you even more annoyed. I know for pretty much a certified fact that Walter Smith would have taken it.
Yeah.
And they dicked him around too much. And so he said, no, I'm counting myself out now.
Well, it was at that time when Walter Smith and Alex McLeish, those two certainly started changing the fortunes around of the Scotland team and they started picking up better results, I remember.
So, I think Walter would probably do a good job.
Yeah, I'd have probably had Smith over McLeish. But then McLeish said that...
He left to go to Rangers, Smith, didn't he? So people got a bit annoyed about that as well.
That's fair enough. I mean, McLeish said he felt it was his destiny to go back there and he said, when I looked at the other guys who have gone back to take charge of their national teams for a second time, like Dick Advocaat and Louis van Gaal, I thought, yeah, that could be on for me in some time.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
Didn't the president give him a little bit of a stitch up in the press conference?
The SFA president, Alex McRae, he's a bit of a bumbling old silly sausage by all accounts.
What a gentle way of putting it.
A bumbling old silly sausage.
He's on Radio 4 now.
No, he wants an old sausage.
Yeah. Bumbling silly sausage, Alex McRae said in the press conference with Alex McLeish.
Is it Alan McRae or Alex McRae? I thought it was Alan.
Alan, sorry.
Is it Colin McRae?
Yeah. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
Come on. He didn't talk about McLeish in his previous time in the Scotland national seat, national team hot seat, which he should have done because he did pretty well, as we say, relatively speaking. He just talked about McLeish and him knowing each other from the past and McLeish's playing career and all this kind of stuff. And then he said, in season 1888-89, I was appointed Alex as chairman of his testimonial committee. And I thought, I know McLeish looks a bit old, but... that old. He'd be about 150. I mean, I know it's a slip
like Godfrey from Dad's Army.
I know it's a slip of the tongue and all, but it was an enjoyable one. But then he said, ladies and gentlemen, join with me in welcoming Alex McLeish as our new Scotland team coach who will lead us to the Euro 2020 finals here in Scotland. No pressure, Alex. And I thought, well, if it's here in Scotland, then you get an automatic qualifying spot, don't you? Mm. He's all over the shop, Jim. What do you think of McRae?
McRae?
Yeah.
I think he's a... bumbling old silly sausage.
There we are. Right then. Speaking of which, let's go for going for Glold.
I'd like to point out that bumbling old silly sausage is boss. When they're it's time for going for Glold, where I give you a mystery footballer and read out some clues, and you guys got to guess who it is. Not cheating this time, Marcus, please.
Yeah, Marcus. Before we go into that, I thought I just completely forgot to mention this. Euro 2020 is in lots of different cities, isn't it?
It is.
So a few of the games might well be in Scotland. I haven't checked, so that's maybe what he means there. I'm just defending him. Trying to be fair.
Yeah, sorry.
The semi-finals and the final are in London, I believe.
Okay, but there might be some games in Scotland.
There might well
be. Yeah, we don't know. Yeah. So we're giving him a bit of slack.
Okay.
Anyway, carry on. Carry on, Pete. Sorry for impinging upon your section.
Yeah,
Pete.
Watch out, mate.
You're right to do it, though.
Yeah. Right. These clues come from Darren Michaels from Bedford. Thank you, Darren Michaels from Bedford, for getting involved. I was born in Suriname in 1972.
Stop. Edgar David.
Incorrect.
Stop. Oh. Clarence Seedorf.
Incorrect.
Stop. Brian Roy.
Incorrect.
Stop.
No.
No. You know.
He knew what he was doing.
I knew.
I've played for 10 different clubs in 4 different countries.
Stop, Michael Rice again.
I was going to say that!
Incorrect.
Oh, I was genuinely going to say that as well.
We're all on the same
Stop.
Page here.
Aaron Winter.
Good
no.
one.
No.
Stop, Wim Jonk.
Number two. Clue number three. He's actually numbered these incorrectly, so I am messed up.
It's his
fault. I was brought to the English game by George Graham.
Stop. Glenn Helder.
Yeah.
Oh, lovely. No.
Oh, I
no,
thought
you
that
had that
a
there.
Wenger signing anyway.
Damn.
I scored the first competitive goal at Southampton St Mary's.
Huh.
Stop. Reggie Blinker.
No.
St Mary's.
What a little Reggie Blinker.
Yeah, true.
I have played 23 international games and scored 9 goals.
Excuse me.
You're so close. It's kind of just circling
That's
the
annoying.
Answer.
I really feel like I should know this one. Sometimes I think I haven't got a clue and it's one of those things, but I really feel like I should know this one.
I've been on the losing side in the Copa del Rey, the FA Cup and UEFA Cup, and am a Premier League runner-up. My only major honour is the Portuguese Cup.
Don't know. I mean, this is in Jim's wheelhouse, really. He's an Arsenal player, so I mean,
well, not necessarily.
My last game in the English game was as a loser in the FA Cup final.
Did you say it could be Spurs?
Yeah, Graham managed Spurs, didn't he?
Oh, of course he did. Yeah, God, okay, right.
I have played for Claudio Ranieri at two different clubs.
Oh, stop. Is it Winston and Bohada?
Yeah, surely.
Surely not, Marcus. Oh. Incorrect.
Oh, you went at the top. Yeah, no, Graham, yeah.
I've won the Premier League Golden Boot once, and I once shared
the title.
Oh, stop.
Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink.
Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink.
Sorry about that.
My real first name is Gerald, and I'm currently managing in League One. Thank you for winning.
Yeah, sorry, everybody. That I think people would have got that way before us there. But we'll never know.
We'll never know.
Because we don't believe them. Well,
I could hear them screaming the answer, but not what the answer was.
I like that Hasselbaink is managing Northampton Town.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
It was at Burton.
Burnley did very well, and then QPR didn't quite work out.
Yeah. He's plying his trade. He's not moaning, he's never get these jobs. He just gets on with it.
There we are. Mm. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble. It's been a ruddy pleasure, as always. Don't forget the preview show, of course, out Thursday. We need a new better. Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jimmy.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Petey.
See you later.
Bye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.